Money FM 89.3, best of your money. Money and Me on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
I'm Michelle Martin. Great show we have planned for you. The astronomical rally in GameStop has imposed huge losses of nearly $20 billion for short sellers this month, but they're not budging. Short-selling hedge funds have suffered a mark-to-market loss of $19.75 billion year-to-date in the brick-and-mortar video game retailer, including a nearly $8 billion loss on Friday because the stock kept ripping higher. Is there a risk of wider market contagion? We're going to dive into that with Tong Ho Sung, Director and Head of Wealth Management for Aura Group. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Oh, thank you. Morning. I'm fine, thank you.
Good. I am doing really well. We've been busy monitoring what's happening with market action. Imagine back in August 2020, GameStop's trading about $4. And then we did see this. The shares steadily climbing higher to close out 2020, just under 20 on the back of some big name investors taking stakes. The short squeeze phenomenon, nothing new, some might say, but the action, the scale of it, unprecedented. And the action certainly partly fueled by stock buying by the Reddit group Wall Street Bets. But while many are cheering on the little retail traders beating up the big institutional shorts, it looks like other institutions are also in on the buying. We've seen stories pop up about Michael Burry's gains on GameStop and Elon Musk even joining in the fray, tweeting about it. So my question to you, Tong Ho, is with all this short squeezing and chasing action, is there a risk of wider market contagion?
Well, I guess when this news cycle picked up, this was a real classic David versus Goliath story that quickly became a somewhat populist uprising, armed with no fees, brokerage accounts instead of pitchforks. It's just that this time around, the ones that are crying foul, as you rightly put it, are the supposedly sophisticated big-time Wall Street movers and shakers. So the question now is, okay, with and your to your point, is there a contagion effect? I guess in the short term, there will be volatility in the markets. That I think, is evident. However, I think if you look out into the medium and longer term, I think that I don't think there's going to be a wider market contagion to it. And in fact, if you ask me if there's any volatility caused by this, it's always a good time to pick up value companies based on fundamentals.
Okay, interesting perspective. Because we are wondering if other books have to be closed because investors have to close out their shorts. So what do you say to the retail investor who wants to know, how do I manage my risk in light of, you know, trading restrictions that can pop up ever so suddenly?
Yep. I would say, you know, the former U.S. Federal Chairman Alan Greenspan one termed it best when markets became frothy and moved way beyond fundamentals, and he called it irrational exuberance.
Exuberance, okay.
Yeah, and I think this current episode basically fits right in. So I would say that don't be too taken in by this frenzy. Don't dive into it at all. And I think people should be really wary of potential risk from regulators, as well as trading restrictions, which, by the way, was imposed. And you could see that all of a sudden, the price of GameStop basically plunged. So what happened, I mean, as people went into Robinhood, the online no fees trading app, faced an onslaught of demands on its cash amid this stock market frenzy. It basically had to raise more than $1 billion from its existing investors just to continue operating. It also had to draw a line of credit from six banks that amounted to between 500 to 600 million U.S. And this is just to meet higher margins on lending or requirements from the central clearing facilities for stock trades. And this is also just to pay customers who actually owe money from trades. So there is that risk that more restrictions or trading curbs might come in. Mm-hmm. And that's when I think the smart money would use this time to basically take some money or take as much money as you can off the table.
Do you think a lot of investors are going to be thinking, I might want to stay away from the younger, less capitalized, you know, trading platforms because they're going to run into liquidity issues and this could happen because of that?
That's very true. And I think right now, because Reddit is social media is both a boon as well as a bane. Mm. Lots of people have jumped in and they're going, oh, well, you know, let's buy this stock and let's not let these big boys short the company and things like that. I think ultimately at the end of the day, what's going to prevail is good sense. And when reality sets in, what's probably going to happen is it will come back down to basing your stock buys on fundamentals.
Okay, so you agree. I was reading a tweet by a noted investor, Muhammad El Arian, who said, you know, the price moves, whether it's silver or GameStop and S&P, he sees these price moves as connected, but he thinks that in the long term, fundamentals are going to assert themselves.
I'm pretty sure it will be. If you look around today, there is a lot more problems out there. We're still trying to control COVID. The U.S. is still trying to convince, the Senate to increase spending. So there are issues around, and I think this is basically the way I look at it as a fad, at which I think it would end in tears for many people who went in and didn't take the opportunity to get out. And history itself has actually taught us that in 2008, just as an example, with mm-hmm. Volkswagen, mm-hmm. and then I think just sometime last year with Eastman Kodak, the short squeeze came in. And what happened after that? The share prices of these two companies basically plunged drastically and dramatically from their peaks. So it's very much like a game of musical chairs, and we all know what happens when the music stops.
Yeah, well said. I mean, just look at how GameStop has done, right? Tumbling overnight, dropping 30%, down another 15% in after-hours trade, about $193 a share. But, mm-hmm. you know, last week we did see a big drop in GameStop shares, and then we saw an even bigger rally the next day. So people are wondering, is this rally over or not in the short term?
I guess as long as it's still in the news cycle, things are going to be... there's going to be added volatility in this particular game stock. But I have some interesting data on the retail flow with regards to GameStop just last week. Retail buyers last week seemed to be net buyers on the first day of the trading week, but then they became net sellers for the rest of the week. All in all, the retail orders to buy and sell were basically 50-50. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what this basically indicates is that retail investors on Reddit might have started the GameStop rally, but they don't seem to be piling into the stock now. And hence, the price action could be coming from professionals or so-called professionals, possibly the traditional Wall Street hedge funds, algorithm high frequency traders, mm-hmm. Who don't usually access trading platforms like Robinhood and all. There's also talk that that each hedge fund could begin to coordinate their strategies. So of course, there's the buying has also come about because these hedge funds and all have to basically cover their short positions. So whether this will continue, maybe for a little bit more, but then after that, things will just, I would say, become very quiet.
That's really interesting insights. So if we say we see the institutional players muscling in, what would the direction of the trades be? Where would they be heading? What's the end game?
I would say that for them, if you look at it, once they have covered all the short positions, basically you the game's over. Yeah? And then what's going to happen is slowly people will start going down to focusing back on fundamentals and GameStop. GameStop, if you look at it, it's still a very traditional business. And everyone's going online. So until and unless they basically can turn their business model around, I think the share price for GameStop would probably start trending downwards.
Interesting insights. Thank you very much for that. He's Tong Ho Sung, Director and Health of Wealth Management for the Aura Group. Let's turn our attention now to silver, trading at $29.41. So what is driving the surge in silver? Some say, hey, this is the Reddit retail crowd. They've shifted their focus. The Wall Street GameStop bug may have mutated. That's a headline I saw on AP. If you go to the Reddit thread, some of the traders there are disagreeing with that analysis, and they believe that a silver trap is being set by hedge funds to divert their attention. I mean, if you look at silver, it's going to be much harder for the GameStop individual investors to influence the silver market, which is huge, $1.5 trillion market. So first up, Tong Ho, why have we seen silver get the GameStop treatment, rallying by as much as 13% at one point?
Well, I mean, there again, I mean, people are just feeding into this frenzy and going, okay, let's see, what can I do next, right? And they go, okay, maybe let's go hurt the banks and let's go buy, let's go into silver and basically chase the stock right up. But silver, as you very rightly said, it's quite difficult because the commodity market is actually very different from the retail traditional stocks and shares. However, in fact, if you look at silver itself, silver has been one of the best performing metals over the last year. So it has already moved somewhat based on fundamental reasons. If you look at and I go back to global economies looking poised to be to be revived in the second half of 2021 as pandemic restrictions ease, vaccinations start rolling out to the masses, and then plus the fact that monetary policies have really been so accommodative with the Federal Reserve last week indicating it will continue to keep short rates near zero, and they are tolerating a 2% plus inflation. And, you know, the weakness of the U.S. dollar. So by itself, silver has already some fundamentals built into the price rise. Now, even when people talk about, having a more environmentally friendly policies and all, and if you have the stomach for it, I mean, I think silver would be a place to go simply because a lot of silver is actually used in industrial for industrial uses, whether it's in electronics or solar panels. So about half of the demand for silver comes from actually industrial uses, and silver is a critical component in photovoltaic solar panels. So even though the amount of silver in each solar panel has dropped, demand for solar, I guess solar panels will continue to grow. So I think silver has fundamentals behind it.
Absolutely. I think one important possible learning lesson for our investors listening in might be an earlier point you made that the commodities market's very different from maybe the market that GameStop exists in. I wonder if you can flesh out some of those differences for our investors.
Well, okay, for commodities, I guess it's all about supply and demand, right? And these are natural minerals that's in the ground. So basically, it has a finite number in terms of supply, right? And the getting silver online, on stream, actually takes a bit more time than just printing new shares. The capital expenditure behind extracting silver, processing it, is a lot more expensive than, again, printing paper, printing shares. So in itself, is actually very, very different from a traditional market setup.
So you've got to be cognizant that investing in silver and putting your money in the stock market are two quite different types of investments.
That's very true. That's why.
Have different advantages as well. So do you expect, because we've seen this Reddit crowd come in and we've seen an extraordinary spike in retail sites, someone were overwhelmed with demand for the bars and the coins of silver over the weekend, like APMEX, that they said they were unable to process orders until Asian markets open because of unprecedented consumption. Do you expect there to be a curb on silver trading as well?
As you know, prices always is very much dependent on supply and demand. Mm. So as long as the demand for physical silver is there, I think the price would continue to go up. Yeah, and if one doesn't want to look at physical silver, then possibly going to a silver ETF would be a place to go. Now, I've always been a proponent of, if you want to invest into gold or silver, mm-hmm. having it physically is always better than having it on a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm. And that's even preferable to miners' stocks?
Yes, mm-hmm. That's right. Okay. That's right. I always prefer, when it comes down to gold or silver, to have it actually physically.
Okay, got it. So is there more headroom for silver given what we've seen happen?
Well, the Reddit... It from the last I saw Reddit was saying that they're trying to push it all the way up to $1,000. And that's way, way above where it is today. So I think, if everything dies down and we go back to trading it in fundamentals and all, I think silver is probably going to be trading between $23 to $32 per ounce.
Yep. That makes
so
a lot
probably
of sense.
Probably likely an average of about $25 an ounce, which itself is already up from where it was before all these mania started coming in.
Makes a lot of sense. It's now at $29.41. Mm-hmm. Have you been stalking the Reddit group well before this year?
Not really. Perhaps maybe I should have.
But now it's another resource to check out, right? It's so interesting.
Yep, exactly.
He is Tong Ho Sung, Director and Head of Wealth Management for the Aura Group, joining us investors here on Money and Me. Let's turn our attention to this movement into value stocks. We hear a lot of talking heads, on the various news channels saying that there is a rotation over the past weeks. There's been a lot of talk about rotation from growth stocks, that's companies expected to grow sales and earnings at a faster rate than the market average, into value stocks. And on the surface, that appears to be the case. Investors did sell some of the biggest growth names in the market, from Amazon to Microsoft, and pivot to value stocks in the financial, industrial, and in the energy sectors. And I saw a note from Goldman Sachs saying powerful tactical rotation into value stocks was underway, that back in November. But if you dig a little deeper, you see quite a different perspective. This idea that the move to value has also been accompanied by a market rotation towards small cap stocks, and that perhaps it's a small cap factor, not the value factor, that's been the major driving force behind the strong performance of, for example, the Invesco S&P 500 ETF, equal weight ETF, in the past couple of months. So what is your reading? Are you seeing a rotation into value stocks, and do you expect this momentum to continue?
I do believe that the rotation into value stocks should continue. Yeah, and since you brought up the Russell, the small cap companies. Mm. You look at the Russell 2000 index, that's done very well. However, traditionally, when the economy starts turning around, it's usually the small cap that leads the way. Mm. Yeah, and then that's when, and once it reaches a certain point, that's when people start going into the more, I guess, traditional big cap value stocks. Yeah, so I'm not surprised that the smaller caps have actually surged ahead in anticipation of economies opening up again due to the vaccination rollouts and things like that. People are feeling more positive. However, I would add a bit of caution down there, because fundamentally, I think there's still a lot of headwinds for these small cap companies because financing is going to be tough to mm-hmm. come by, yeah. And as long as governments are prepared to fund them, it's okay. So then one needs to ask, are they surviving because of handouts, or are they surviving because they're actually good companies? Yeah,
makes
so,
a lot of sense. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think the rotation into the bigger, more traditional value stocks should continue.
And in that vein, then, what is on your watch list?
I guess for us on the watch list is renewables. It's still very much there. With the U.S. rejoining the Paris Agreement, I think the emphasis on having to meet the U.S. Emissions target by 2050 is going to be back on track. So I would say that renewables are going to be there. It's something that we're looking at. In fact, for ourselves, we're looking very seriously to ESG. This has been a flavor of many global asset managers. Green energy ETFs and funds have also done very well. So that's something that we like. And I think the future looks very bright for the green renewable energy sector. And as I mentioned previously, I think investors cannot and should not avoid technology. Yeah, yep. I think that's still very much on our watch list. And in fact, the Aura Group, we have written an article on that about technology, and we still think that there is lots of room for it to move. Mm-hmm. Even though if you look at the bigger names like Alibaba, Tencent, and Amazon, or Twitter and Facebook, there could be some headwinds from regulators. And there has also been calls to actually break them up. But the funny thing about these things is that sometimes when you have, additional regulations, it actually becomes an obstacle for new entrants to come in.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And if that was to happen, it actually does make these, incumbents a lot more valuable and stronger. Yeah, and even though regulators are saying they need to break them up and things like that, some people even do believe that these tech companies could actually be worth more than if they were broken up than staying it as it is.
They could be worth more if they were broken up.
Yeah, strangely enough, yeah. I mean, it's almost like the example of Philip Morris,
mm-hmm.
much in the 80s and 90s, they were always known to be a cigarette company, a tobacco company.
Yep.
And then what happened was because of health and regulation, what they did was they spun off their cigarette department, their tobacco department into another company, whereby any liabilities would be quite limited. And it will insulate the main holding company. Uh-huh. So sometimes some of the parts actually could be worth a lot more than the whole.
Makes a lot of sense. And the structuring of things. Okay, got it. I want to bring it closer to home before we say goodbye. So we're looking this month, going to be anticipating budget 2021. It's expected to be expansionary, Singapore's budget. And, you know, I think people are looking for targeted policy measures, at least on the job front, the wage front, what matters to workers. But for investors, Tong Ho, what are some key numbers that the Singapore investor should be looking out for with our upcoming budget?
I think when it comes down to the Singapore budget, there's always a huge wish list from different sectors here and there. However, I mean, I don't look at any particular numbers, but I think what's probably going to be happening is the budget's still going to be a little bit more on the prudent side. It's probably going to be to help the country to recover from the pandemic. It's also probably a budget that's going to target sectors that are hit hardest by the pandemic. But I think this time around, it'll be a lot more targeted and calibrated than previously.
All right. Do you have more to add to that?
Yeah, I think what's probably going to happen also is that they're probably going to improve the application process, at least the processes for SMEs to gain grants.
Reduce the red tape?
Yeah, because exactly, because the current process can be quite cumbersome. Now, what the government could also think about is to perhaps bring back some measures in the previously there was what we had was a productivity and innovation credit scheme. This is basically to give employers more tax incentive to train workers. Then this, and as you know, we're also trying to build a Singapore core. Right. So this would definitely encourage companies to train their workers. And this should continue to help Singapore develop its advancement, manufacturing capabilities and digital connectivity.
Enhance enterprise capabilities and help upskill workers at the same time.
Yes, that's
right. In the medium term. Makes a lot of sense. Tong Ho, thank you as always for your insights. We appreciate it.
Oh, most welcome. I certainly hope I can provide something meaningful to people.
Always. In fact, I'm going to look out for that article that you mentioned that Aura has put out there on tech. Is it available on a website?
Yes. If you like, I could always send you a copy of it.
All right. And
more than
I will.
Happy to do that.
Thank you so much. And I will share that with listeners as well. Tong Ho Sung, the director and head of wealth management from Aura Group, with me here on Money and Me.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.